Hello.
Hey, Mike.
Hey, Kyle. How you doing?
Good, how are you?
I'm doing good. It's Friday.
Oh yeah, I like that.
Yeah, I had the day off, so it was pretty good.
I saw that. That's pretty awesome.
Yeah. I was
Wish
with
I could have had
comics all
the.
day.
Yeah, I wish I could have done that.
So how are you?
Really good. It's awesome to finally talk to you.
Yeah, you're the first guest on Mike M's Weekly Reads.
It's a milestone.
Yeah, that's a milestone. So I thought what we would talk about is a little bit like about you and how you got into comics, and then we'd talk about our recent back issue purchases.
Yeah, that sounds good. So, let's see. I kind of got into comics probably when I was about 7 or 8 maybe. My earliest memory of comics is probably going to the grocery store with my mom. And they used to have comics up by the register at the grocery stores.
Really? Not non-Archie?
I remember Archie, but I also remember a couple other titles up there, mainly Batman. And this was probably right around the time the first Batman movie was coming out, so I don't know if that would have something to do with it.
Is that like 84? What was that? I don't remember.
89?
89.
89, yeah. Yep. So yeah, so I would see the comics up there and of course beg my mom to get them, and more often than not she would. And I remember getting Batman and Ninja Turtles.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, probably not the original Turtles series. I'm not sure exactly what the volume would have been at that
Yeah,
time.
was it Archie Ninja Turtles or was it
I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't still have those comics, unfortunately. But yeah, so I mean, I'd get them every once in a while, and really, like, the main thing that drew me in was the artwork. I grew up just drawing all the time. I love to draw, so
Do
the
you still draw?
a little bit. I kind of got out of it. Kind of got out of it after college, when I had to get a real job. But I was an art major in college, mainly like multimedia stuff, not really drawing or anything. But I mean, I grew up drawing all the time, and that's really what drew me into comics was the artwork.
Awesome, you could draw my comic when I finally read it.
I don't think I'm that good, but yeah, I don't think I could do that. But yeah, and so I didn't really buy monthly comics or anything like that. I pretty much would just buy, a book here and there every once in a while. And then kind of got out of it a little bit during high school. I play guitar, so I was in bands throughout high school, and
Nice.
that took up most of my time. But
What kind of music?
the stuff the stuff that I played back then, was kind of like classic rock, a lot of classic rock. a little bit of blues, stuff like that. But I mean, now I pretty much play and listen to just about anything. I love a lot of older music, 60s, 70s, 80s.
Nice.
I mean, I even like 40s and 50s jazz and blues. So yeah, that stuff's really cool too. But back to comics. So I'd say like throughout high school, I'd get a trade like every once in a while, kind of the big ones, Dark Knight Returns, Batman Year One, stuff like that.
All the big ones.
Oh yeah. Yeah, pretty much just the big stuff. Cuz
Was he
like I
your favorite hero?
back then, probably. I mean, it's hard to say because I wasn't really exposed to a lot of it.
Yeah.
So I guess I wasn't aware of every, the whole universe.
Right.
But the first kind of regular comics that I started picking up was probably early 90s. It would have been like the Jim Lee era X-Men stuff.
Right.
That's kind of what I that's the stuff I kind of grew up on. But then, like I said, in high school, I kind of got out of it a little bit and was basically just reading the big stuff. Basically anything that somebody recommended to me, I would check out. But then after college, is kind of when I really slowed down on the other interests like music and stuff like that. I stopped playing in bands at that time, so I found myself with a lot more free time. And I think one day I just, for some reason, just got the itch to go to the comic store. So I went in, and this was about the time of Blackest Night was coming out.
Yeah.
And I had heard great stuff about Geoff Johns' Green Lantern. So I picked up a couple Green Lantern trades. I even got some of the Blackest Night stuff, and from there I was pretty much just hooked.
That's awesome. So I bet you're kind of stoked for this rebirth because they threw a lot like, hey, I did this to Green Lantern. Did you see the
Oh yeah.
video?
That video got me so pumped up.
Well, I like the last line where he says in he read the opening page of I guess the first comic and he goes like something isn't quite right, you
So
know?
yeah, something's missing.
Yeah, something's missing.
I mean, the images they were showing, I mean, and obviously like they're probably not going to have all of those characters back, but the images that they were showing,
Were everything that he's done.
oh yeah, I mean, trying to think what trying to think of one of the images that really got me pumped up. I mean, they showed Blue Beetle, and obviously he's getting a series again.
Yeah, it had Jaime and Ted.
That would really be cool to see Ted back. What was it? Oh, they showed some. They showed a lot of JSA stuff. So hopefully, I can't remember if JSA was on that list or not, but
They weren't on that list. I don't think there was like an Earth 2 book, but they did show like classic JSA, like the whole team.
Right. So
And they
yeah,
showed Legion of Superheroes as well.
That's what it was. It was Legion, because I saw Legion and I thought, oh, I wonder if they're going to bring Legion back, because that would be cool.
Yeah.
But yeah, that video was great, and I could listen to Geoff Johns talk comics all day, because
Yeah.
he's so enthusiastic about it, and you can tell he just loves the characters.
Yeah, he does, and he loves the history. That's one thing I like about him is there's a lot of good writers, and then there's ones that want to do their own thing. Jeff does it, but he pays respect to what's happened in the past.
Right. Yep.
He doesn't like to just say, I'm gonna clean have start with a clean slate. He likes to start with what happened and then do his thing.
Yep. Yeah, and so, I mean, some of his runs on different series, Flash for one, are some of my favorite runs, that I've ever read.
Yeah. Flash, JSA. He
Yeah,
did
his.
the action comics with the Legion of Superheroes.
Yep.
He's done Aquaman. He's done Green Lantern for so long.
Yep. Yeah, he killed that Shazam backup too.
Yeah. Oh yeah. It surprises me that they haven't done anything with him in the New 52. I
Yeah,
mean,
me
like,
too.
cause he had so much potential, and the fact that he was a backup, and people were reading Justice League, it might have like been a spin-off that people would have followed. I mean, definitely not in the numbers that would sell for Justice League, but he would have, had a following from that book.
Right.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, and everything I saw was, positive about Shazam, so I'm sure it would sell pretty well. But you never know.
Yeah. One thing the New 52 I think did really well, I don't know if you're into these books, but I really like the way they did the magic characters.
Yeah, I'm not so much into the magic stuff. I like Dr. Fate a lot. That's probably the main exception for me. I am reading the current Constantine though, and that book is amazing.
Yeah, I like that a lot too.
So I guess it just depends on the magic stuff. Because I mean, I like Doctor Strange too, but a lot of times the magic, I don't know what it is. Sometimes it just doesn't do it for me. But
Yeah, it's a
yeah.
acquired taste, that's for sure.
Yep.
So, what else, like once you got into the, what got you into it? Like you're pretty much into it now. Like you get quite a few books.
Yeah.
you know a lot. Do you get them from an LCS or do you go through DCBS or some other mail order?
Well, right now I'm kind of transitioning away from my LCS. More to DCBS full time.
Yeah.
Because what I was doing was, well, first, I mean, I got everything from my LCS because I live in a pretty small town. I mean, it's about 100,000, so it's on the smaller side. And it's funny, growing up, we actually had two comic shops. They were right across the street from each other, and they the one was around for, I don't know, maybe about 10 years before it closed, and it closed sometime in the 90s.
Yeah, a lot of them popped up, and then as soon as the market crashed, they shut down.
Yep, and that's right around the time it closed. But the other one that was across the street, they've stayed open. They've been going strong, and it really surprises me that they're able to stay open. So,
Do they diversify, though? Do they do toys? Do they do cards? Do they do.
yeah, they don't do cards. They do toys.
Trades.
They do toys, trades. I mean, pretty much any comics they do. Toys they do, but honestly, like when and I mean, I'm not really too into toys. I'll get an action figure every once in a while if it's like a character that I just love.
Yeah.
But honestly, like their toys, there are it's pretty crap like selection. It's a lot of used stuff, a lot of old stuff, but it's just kind of junky. So I mean, it's almost more like a pawn shop when it comes to toys.
Yeah, it's like they'll buy back toys for cheap and then sell them back,
Yeah,
probably.
pretty much.
It's not like the DC Direct or all the new Marvel Legends or any of that.
They do get new figures. It's I mean, not very many, but they do get new ones. But anyways, like I so when I really got back into comics, it was really kind of funny because, like I said, growing up like in the 90s, I was all about X-Men, and Marvel stuff. And I don't know why. I just because I guess kind of back then I just kind of thought, you know, DC has like the clean image, you know, and Marvel just seemed, you know, like kind of dangerous and
More gritty and more real. Yeah.
I mean, you know, looking back, I definitely regret that because I'm all about DC now, but
What flipped the switch?
I don't know, but like I said, like it was kind of Geoff Johns Green Lantern that got me back in, and from that point, like the only thing I really wanted to read was DC. So from there, I mean, obviously, I jumped on Batman, Nightwing, some of the more popular characters like that, Justice League, and then I think from Justice League is probably where I started to branch out to the, you know, the more secondary characters and at that point, you know, wanting to really learn about every character I could and, you know, the whole universe. Because I mean, as you know, some of the best characters are secondary and tertiary characters.
That's because they can get away with murder with them. They have a lot more flexibility. They don't have an editor saying you have to guide this character.
Yeah, they can take bigger
They can
risks.
take a lot more risks.
Exactly. But yeah, I don't know what it was. I don't know if it was maybe maturity, and maybe that's why I started getting into DC. But also too, I think it's just DC's tradition and legacy, you know. And it seems like most, you know, hardcore DC fans, that's what they're about, is that legacy. But yeah, so when I got back into it, I decided, you know, I really want to support my LCS. So everything I got was from the LCS.
They treat you good? I mean, they give you a little discount if a pull box or something, or.
Yeah, I mean, and see, here's where it gets kind of funny. So the shop is owned by a guy. He's probably in his 40s. And I mean, I remember him, you know, working there forever, and then eventually at one point he bought the place. So I mean, it's the same guy in there all the time, but there will be days I've noticed where you get a discount and some days where you don't. So it's just really strange.
Like he's in the mood for it, even though you're a loyal customer.
Yeah, pretty much.
You know, my shop, I still go to, and I think I spend most on just DC, but not everything DC.
Right.
But I like him. But I go to DCBS because of quantity,
Yeah.
and the discounts are, the discounts and the customer service. Because with the LCS, I would miss books.
Yep, and that's kind of what I'm about to get to. Yeah. Yep. But yeah, you can't beat DCBS's discounts for one, and then the customer service is amazing.
It is an amazing customer service for being what they are. You know, I don't think I have another, like, other than Amazon, that's that good, you know.
Right,
Even
yeah.
and as far as like how things arrive, it's way better than Amazon.
Well, and yeah, and from Amazon, I don't expect that you could send Amazon an email and say, "Hey, change this on my order," and they would do it, you know? I don't see Amazon being that
Flexible.
accommodating. Yeah. Yep. But yeah, so I've got a pull list at my LCS and mainly DC stuff. I'd pick up a few Marvel titles, but so eventually, like I start branching out, you know, to Image and Dark Horse and Dynamite and other trying out other publishers and stuff, and basically, like my LCS, I mean, it's a small shop. You know, every Wednesday that I'm in there, I probably see the same, you know, three or four guys in there, same three or four customers in there. So he tries to be very conservative with what he orders. If he has you know, three subscribers on an Image book, he may order four copies of it.
Right, just one for the shelf.
Right. And
But
so
that's probably why he's still in business, though. Like,
yeah, that's true. And
because
I mean, I completely understand why he does that, because you don't want books to just sit and then, you know, just pile up on you. But so there came a point where I, you know, was getting other publishers and stuff, and there'd be times where he'd forget to order something, or
Or somebody would grab it off the shelf, that one copy, before you got it.
right. And I mean, like, more recently, like, when Valiant relaunched, he didn't order any Valiant. So I had to put it all on my pull list, and then even still, I'd miss books from time to time. So I was constantly, you know, having to, you know, place my comicshop.com orders, just to, you know, keep up on monthly books. And then, you know, once you place my comic shop order, you can't help but throw some back issues in there.
Well, you get the what do you call it? You signed up for the coupon thing, right? The monthly My Comic Shop 20. It's like they send you an email every month or every week, or no, it's monthly, and it says get this much off of every DC title that begins with A.
Oh yeah, between like A and J or whatever.
Yeah, A and
Yeah.
J.
Yep.
That's usually what leads me down a rabbit hole.
Yeah.
I go there for one reason, and then I'm like, oh, I save an extra 10%. I'll throw
Throw a
these
couple
in
more
there.
books in there, yep.
Yeah, sure.
Yep.
I like them too. Then they've only gotten better, especially with the way they've packaged packaged. Like within the last 6 months, that they're packaging their stuff a lot better than they used to. The only thing that I don't like that they're doing now is there's a lot of issues that they go on those consignment fees. Like it's a ridiculous price because they officially grade them on their own, and they're ridiculously priced. I'd rather have them not graded on their own and just let me get a VG or a fine, because they're good graders as opposed to Mile High Comics, which they have their own grading system, whereas these people seem to at least follow the Overstreet grading guide.
Yeah, that's one thing I did notice about my comic shop. Because even if you try to get, the poorest copy that they have, if it's a key book, even if it's like $15, if it's a key book, they've got that consignment on there.
Yeah, and that drives me crazy because, like, right now I'm on this Alan Moore kick with the Swamp Things, and that the first 10 issues are all in consignment. I mean, I have them on hardcover, but I want this. I have up, you know, I have a compulsion, right? So it's like I want those issues, but I'm probably gonna seek them out a different means because of those consignment fees.
I'm the same way. Like if I have a trade, 'cause like I have the first volume of that of the Alan Moore Swamp Thing in trade, and then from every issue after that I've gotten single issues, but yeah, there's just that little thing where you're like, well, I have the stories in trade, but I kind of want the singles,
Yeah, it's a weird, like, I think we're a lot alike in that. In other words, it's you have the reader. What comes first is that you can read it and enjoy the story, but then second, right underneath it is the collector compulsion, you know, that I have to fill this hole because there's this hole and it drives me nuts. Why is this hole here?
Yeah, the fun part about reading comics is the collecting, like the, tracking down certain back issues and, searching, high and low for a certain book, and then you finally find it. Yeah, that's the fun part. But
I still can't find the final issue of Icon. I cannot. I found it on Amazon, but they want like $50 for a milestone book. I'm like, come on, man. I could almost like pay double and buy the whole series again.
Yeah, you'd probably be better off just buying the huge lots on eBay, but then I know you already have plenty of comics sitting around, so you probably don't want to do that.
But I don't want to pay $50 for a dollar book. Only people that are, it's not a in demand book. Like you don't hear somebody say, I need that last issue of Icon.
At least now,
I keep saying it, but
at least now it shouldn't be an in-demand book.
yeah, but I keep looking at it and I can't find it. Like I go to Atomic Avenue, I go to Mile High, I go to the only place I could find it is Amazon, but the prices are so doggone high. And I'd rather spend $50 on a Silver Age book. Like if I'm gonna go, so you know, with that. So I don't know if I'll ever complete that.
Yeah, that's kind of one where you just have to kind of keep your eyes open in like, 50-cent and dollar bins and hope you come across it.
Yeah, it's a low print run though. I don't think I'll ever find it in those, but it might happen. You never know.
But yeah, so so lately, what I've been doing is, well, what I had been doing was I had my pull list at the LCS, mainly just for DC stuff, and then I would get the smaller publishers on DCBS. But lately I'm just kind of like, you know what? I want to just go all in on DCBS and just be done with it, you know?
Yeah.
Then I don't.
Plus you save that. Like, I mean, just think about your Marvel and DC. If you go all in, it's 50. If you don't, it's 40. That's a hell of a discount.
Oh, I know.
And Image is like 40 too. So, you know, the other publishers are like 35 or 30. It's the obscure ones that are really low, but it's still a way better discount than you can get at your shop. Like my shop does good. They give me 25% off and even more on the back issues because I'm a high spender.
Frequent buyer.
Yeah, frequent buyer. So I have like this 50% discount, and when he gets a collection, he tells me that it's there. So you're gonna probably migrate to DCBS. I would say 80% of my stuff is at DCBS. The only reason I do other stuff is because I like my comic book shop guy, but I got frustrated missing the back half. I would always get my Marvel and DCs. It was the back half, and I don't think all of it was his fault. I think that sometimes the books come really damaged, or that I think that Diamond caters to the big distributor, you know, the big shops, but they don't, the small LCSs, they're not very as good with, you know.
Yeah, I like the guy. You know, he's a nice guy, but I just there's only so many times I can get burned and you know, and with DCBS also too, like
The shipping is
I
cheap,
yeah
especially if you buy a lot. It's really cheap in
yeah
respect to other stuff, you know, other companies that ship.
Oh yeah, definitely. And if you buy enough books, the discount will more than cover the shipping, which I know for you it's not even a question,
It's like shipping's almost free for me.
but
So, did you buy the reason I had you on this show is I talk about like back issue purchases, and you had said that you bought an Iron Man, and I guess I missed your tweet. I missed your tweet, and then I saw it later on, because I have a list of people that I follow on Twitter, and you're one of them. And I saw the cat in the box in the comic box, and but I missed the Iron Man one, and you said, "Oh, you have my copy," and I was like, "Oh, what? I didn't even know you had it." But I wanted to know, did you get this Iron Man from the shop, or did you get it somewhere else?
No, and all of my so all of my back issue buying is strictly online, or if I happen to travel to a different town or whatever, and they have a shop, I'll go in and get back issues. Because I mean, the back issue prices at my LCS are just terrible. I mean, even for, dollar books, he pretty much has one flat rate for back issues, and it's anywhere from 4 to like, $5 or $6 an issue. And I'm talking about like, New 52 stuff. But also too, even like, 80s DC and Marvel that really has no value at all. So I mean, I can go to mycomicshop.com and get a whole run of,
Yeah, for $1.25 or something like
yeah,
that, each
80s
book.
80s Marvel or DC, get the whole run for yeah, $1.25 an issue. But at my LCS, they're like $4 a piece. So, So yeah, and I actually got the Iron Man issue from Mile High. So in your neck of the woods. But
Yeah.
and
Was
I
it an auction thing or was it
no.
okay.
I get their I get their like newsletter or whatever, their
Yeah, I get it
emails
too.
that they send out, and they do the 50% off back issues on the weekend. So I got an email. It was a little over a week ago, and or no, I'm sorry. It was about 2 weeks ago because I got the book about a week ago. So I got an email from them, and it just said that they recently picked up a large collection of Silver Age books, and I mean they had multiple copies of. Of this Iron Man book, plus Silver Surfer number one. They had some Fantastic Four stuff, some Avengers. They had a they had some Cap issues. I mean they just had a ton of stuff. And so I see the Iron Man book and I was like, I'm, just kind of curious with 50% off, like,
Is that affordable, right?
yeah, could I get a deal? And so I go out and look and the copy I got, they categorized it as being good, which I probably agree with.
Your copy looks slightly better than mine. I mean, from what I can see, it looks like it's got a chip on one side, but
Right.
the binding looks better than my copy.
Yeah, the binding's pretty good. There's some chipping around the edge of the cover. The inside pages are beautiful. They're, I mean, obviously they're yellow, but the colors have not faded at all, which is just amazing to me because I mean, I've got comics from the 80s that they've faded, the colors have faded so much it's hard to read, you know?
Or you have the 80s and the 90s books, they had that dark ink, and sometimes it would like have a smear effect.
Right, yep, the words would smear, yeah. So I don't know if it's and actually this is the only believe it or not, this is the only Silver Age book that I own. I mainly buy Bronze Age books and copper. But this was purely like an opportunistic buy where I was like, you know what? I don't think I'm ever gonna find this issue for this cheap again.
And the thing about these purchases, Kyle, is it's only gonna go up. Like
Right. Yeah.
these books are valuable. Like some the, like if you buy a new book that's hot and you buy it for a certain price, like $20, that could go down. Like it
Yep.
what's hot today might not be hot later, but this is like a key issue. Like,
Yeah.
and that's why, like, man, I make some tough decisions when I make these. My copy looks a little bit like the colors on yours are pretty vibrant. On the co I'm looking at your cover right now online. And you have that chip in the corner. Like, I don't have chips, but the colors look a lot better than mine. And the binding looks pretty tight from what
Yeah.
I can see. So I can't see what the outside or the back looks like, but to me, it almost looks like a VG.
Yeah.
Like mine looks like a good.
I
I
mean,
got
there's
mine
a
for cheap though. I got it for like 65.
Wow.
dollars because of my super discount, if you will.
Was that the farmer's collection?
Yes. Wait. No, Iron Man was not the Farmer's Collection. So there was this awesome. The best collection was the storage unit, and it was that guy kept his books in Mylar, and he like graded them, and he had them all in order.
Awesome.
That was like an awesome collection that he obtained. And then the Farmer's Collection was a little more beat up, and he used polypropylene, and they weren't as nice shape. This one, my Iron Man, came from this other collection, and it's this older guy that's been shopping at the store for a long time, and he's hitting that age. Like, I think he's like getting close to 70, and he's like, my kids don't want this. My grandkids don't want this. What am I gonna do with this stuff? And
Right.
so he's selling this back to the store, and he has like a really good run of Iron Man. He had a really good run of Flash, Tales of Suspense. His grades are not as great. They vary anywhere from good to fine. But it was a fantastic collection. And the way this, I think my comic shop guy is like one of the most generous guys like on the planet to his loyal customers. Plus he's helping this guy sell his stuff, and whatever he makes, like let's say he sold this book for $65 to me. Well, he's giving the other guy 35, or half of that cost.
Right.
So he's like splitting the cost on every book that this guy gets off of his collection.
Yeah.
So yeah, I like to keep track of where these collections come from because it fascinates me. Because this my collection will someday be that. I know it will.
You're
Because I'm not gonna give it to, I don't have kids, so they wouldn't inherit it. It's gonna be that point where I get close to retirement and I have to offload this. It's gonna break my heart because every book like means something to me. Like
Oh yeah.
it's a memory. It's a just this glow in my eye. So it's gonna take like a lot to give these books up.
Yeah.
But I know that everything that I'm procuring now is really valuable. Like it's, really good stuff.
Yeah, and I mean along that along those lines too, like just with this Iron Man book, for example, every year that goes by, we probably lose a couple of those copies that were printed.
Yes.
Whether they get, thrown away or just fall apart or get destroyed or whatever. Yeah.
So I didn't even want to go down this rabbit hole of Marvel, but I saw it and I had to go down that path because I try to stay as focused as I can. Like I've been in like trying to complete my Brave and the Bold and Batman and Detective and working really hard on my Green Lantern and Flash. And I already obtained the goal. Like I had an early goal of get everything after 1973. And now I'm going back further because of these collections, and it's really good stuff. So what my comic shop guy is really cool because I kind of have like this layaway thing where he trusts that I'm gonna buy stuff, so he lets me pull out of these collections. So I don't have to blow like $500 in one shot. I could do 100 a week and pick up these books. So like right now I have in my box Iron Man 2 through 10. So I'm gonna pick those up, and then I have a lot more Green Lanterns because, man, I'm getting really close to completing Green Lantern.
That is quite a feat.
Yeah, it's I'm missing the first six, and then it looks almost clear, like, and I'm talking about every volume, you know.
That's
So it's a
insane.
volume one, volume two, volume three, everything, all the Green Lantern Corps titles. And I didn't expect to do it, 'cause I was more focused on the Flash. That's what I was focused on. Because that's kind of like my go-to character.
That's it's funny that it's kind of been mine since I've gotten into DC, you know. And I think I mean, obviously Geoff Johns has something to do with that, because
Yes.
that was the first Flash stuff I ever read, was his run, the Wally West run.
Yeah, and I was on another podcast. I can't tell you what it is yet because it's still a secret.
The
But
Tops project.
we were talking about who our favorite, you know, character was, and mine is the Flash, but it is Wally. And I started with Barry, and it's just because to me, Wally has he's more three-dimensional. He's deeper. Like he's got like he's more personality. He's a guy I'd want to hang out with. Whereas Barry, at least you know, in the Bronze Age when I started, he was more flat, and so was Hal. So it's like Wally and Kyle were my guys. Yeah.
So do you have a do you have a release date in mind for this new podcast?
It's not my podcast,
Oh, okay. So you're
but I know they want to get like four in a can in the can because they want it to be regular, you know, like, and then be able to miss a week here and there. So
Right. Yeah.
it's a good strategy. I never do it. I usually release when I like the only ones that I buffer are DC Noise. Because it's hard to get us all three together now, and so I like the last episode was kind of short for us, and I just broke it into two, and I don't even I'm like the not the best editor, you know. It just ends like it just like mid conversation, it just stops, and then I cut it, you know. Then the second part comes in, so I still have like a DC Noise in the can, and I have a few Mike M. Weekly reads in the can, but yeah.
Well, you don't ever have to worry about DC Noise listeners being weirded out by the abrupt endings, because we all know and we're used to it.
Of all my podcasts, I think the most loyal people are for DC Noise. You know, I it At least the people that like when we miss I issues, you know, or episodes, and we're gone a long time, I get the most feedback. It's like, where the hell is DC Noise? Why isn't it out?
Another funny thing, like, just to kind of prove your point there that your DC Noise listeners are the most loyal, I don't think that there's another podcast out there where if the whole point of the show, you know, DC Comics, all of a sudden you guys, you know, all of a sudden the hosts just stop talking about it. How, you know, most podcasts, the listeners would all drop off, you know, but with DC Noise, that's not the case. Like,
We
it's still.
have one guy that doesn't even Keith doesn't even get comics anymore.
But I mean, like, it's still an awesome show, and it's still like really entertaining, and I can't explain it, but there's probably no other podcast out there where, you know, if you have a I don't know, if you have a music podcast and then all of a sudden the
Stop doing
host stops
music.
talking about music, and it's like, you know, what just happened here? And
Yeah.
it didn't, I mean, yeah, your guys's comic reviews were awesome, and it was awesome when you guys talked comics, but it's still awesome even though you don't.
It's changed a lot, and it'll probably change more. It's morphed a lot since when I first started it, Eric, back in the day. So
And I never got to hear any of the episodes with Eric. I haven't gone back to check those out yet. But yeah, I listened when it was just you and Keith doing your I mean, you guys would do like 10 to 15 issues an episode.
Yeah, we would. He was a true fan, and I think the new 52 just it shattered him in more ways than one, where he just got so disenfranchised and frustrated because he was into that legacies and all this stuff, and they kind of like started over,
It seems like a lot. It seems like that happened with a lot of people, and I mean, obviously, we don't know what's going to happen, but to me, that video really felt like, it was almost like they, it was almost like DC just said, you know what, the hell with it, we're going back to the old way, Now, whether that happens or not, is yet to be seen, but that's just at least the impression I got.
Yeah, and just in this last where I got Iron Man, I got another book. This one is in really good shape. It's Justice League of America number 24. So my Justice League collection is almost finished.
And that is crazy because all, I mean, Justice League has been running forever, and so many of those issues like have got to be so expensive.
Well, the ones that are going to kill me is the first appearance, which is in like Brave and the Bold, I think. But I do have the first appearance of the Teen Titans in Brave and the Bold. So I'll maybe they'll come in one of these farmers collections, who knows? And 50% off might be worth it. There was a couple of books that were really expensive, and I kind of did like the layaway thing where I would do $100 this week, $100 the next week, until I actually got it. So I hope to finish that. It's pretty much the early issues, like 1 through 10, but I have like 5 and 8 and a couple others. I was smart in college. I started to do a lot of back issues, and I bought them for dirt cheap. So I acquired a lot of my collection when things were more affordable.
Yeah, that's good.
And then the other one I got just recently was Green Lantern number 40, which is the origin of the Infinite Earths, and it's the origin of the Guardians and the second Silver Age, Golden Age Green Lantern appearance. Yeah, that was a good one. And then I got Adam and Hawkman number 39, which completes my Adam and Hawkman. It started as the Adam title, and then Hawkman had his own title, and they eventually said, these aren't selling well, let's combine them into one title. And they had, like, I don't know, about 15 issues of it. I just completed Adam and Hawkman with this one because it was the only one I was missing.
What years did that run, the Adam and Hawkman?
Adam and Hawkman, this was the first issue, so in the it was 1968, and it was bi-monthly, so it says like October, November of 1968. In that time period, we had Looney Tunes. I don't even know these cartoons. We had the Go Go Gophers, the Bugs Bunny, Roadrunner Hour, Wacky Races, which are coming back to DC.
That yeah, I'm excited about that. I'm gonna get
Yeah.
that one.
The
I
Archie Show.
love the Wacky Races.
Batman Superman Hour, the Herculoids, they're coming back. Shazam, Johnny Quest, that's coming back.
I used to get the old Comico Johnny
Oh,
Quest.
Kamiko. Yeah.
I used to get those.
That cartoon was always the first one I'd watch. And then it would be like Super Friends and stuff after it. And I always enjoyed it because it was just like an adventure story every week. And then they had Moby Dick and the Mighty Mitor. I never watched that. And the Lone Ranger. So, yeah, 1968, those were the cartoons on Saturday morning. Yeah, this is a really nice copy. It only has a fold in the middle. Other than that, it's like really nice. Yeah, but I wanted to thank you for coming on, and I can hardly wait till we get to ask you even more questions on the Retrocast.
I
Yeah.
cannot wait either. That's going to be awesome.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to pick some good books to read.
I'm sure you'll find some good ones. And I wanted to congratulate you on Iron Man. That's a good purchase. I mean, I know you're a DC guy, but sometimes us DC guys have to take advantage of those big big purchases.
I don't have much Marvel stuff, but I will say, like, the Marvel stuff that I enjoy is probably the 70s, 80s Marvel. That's the stuff I enjoy the most. So I do buy those issues when I find them.
Are you into the what do you like in that era? 'Cause I know what I navigate to. It's the Werewolf by Night, it's the Conan the Barbarian, Spider-Man. I love those issues in the Bronze Age.
Right now, I'm actually working on getting I mean, basically right now I'm just working on 80s Avengers.
Nice.
I love the Roger Stern stuff, the David Michelinie.
He was a heck of a writer,
Oh
that David Michelinie.
yep. Basically, I mean, I think my favorite Marvel stuff is probably the shooter era, definitely. And
I love Shooter. I mean, he's the one that
yeah.
got me into New Universe and a lot of the other stuff that was happening at Marvel. And then when he went over to Valiant, I was hooked.
Yep.
And I followed him everywhere else. When he went to Defiant and Broadway and came back to DC and
I checked out the only Defiant I've checked out so far is Warriors of Plasm, and that series is awesome.
Yes.
It's really good.
It's a bizarre series.
It
It's really bizarre.
it's crazy, but it's good.
Yeah. And I thought like Defiant was quite a bit different than Valiant, but it had his same style of writing. And then when he went to Broadway, I really thought it had the feel of Valiant again. But he was going for the bad girl stuff. Like Vince Vatale. I guess that was the hot thing, like Lady Death and that kind of stuff.
Yeah, I've seen some of those covers.
Yeah. Well, thanks for coming on, and I think I'm just gonna release this one as like a Mike M special. Where
Okay.
we talk about back issue special, and
It's a new iteration.
it's a new iteration, yeah. It should come out probably next week sometime.
Sounds good.
But
Thanks for
thanks.
having me, man.
Well, I
This
always
is
wanted
awesome.
to talk to you. We talk a lot on Twitter, but this is great to get you on Skype, and I even hunted you down. I was like, "You come on, Retrocast."
I mean, believe me, I definitely, I mean, I've wanted to for a long time. I just, I have this thing where, I don't, especially if I don't, I mean, I obviously I know you from listening to your podcast. But, not really knowing somebody, I just have this thing where I don't want to be a pest, I don't know, it's just kind of
Oh, you're not a pest. You are a awesome person, I tell you. And I have a lot more questions for you. I just want to save them for retro.
Awesome.
And
Awesome.
I think it's awesome. Like in the retro, we get to talk music and all the other stuff. So
Yeah.
I have a lot to, especially now that I know you play guitar, I have a lot more questions.
Awesome.
So it's going to be a lot of fun. We have a lot of people in the queue, so you're in the queue right now, and I'll let you know
Okay.
when it comes up.
Yeah, no rush on that. Like I said, because I need to. I mean, the hardest part is going to be, you know, choosing what books I want to talk about, you know.
Yeah.
So no rush on that, but
I always have that. Like I usually start on Thursday and I go through my boxes and I say, what do I feel like? And then there's always the thing that if I have read something from the previous episode that was so doggone good, like Birds of Prey, it's coming in the next one because
yeah.
I need to know what the next one's like.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun. And don't forget on the retro, you could do other stuff. It doesn't have to be comics if you don't want. It could be music. It could be a movie. It could be TV. So.
Well, okay. Well, it's going to be comics, so.
Yeah. Well, that's what it is for us.
Yeah.
Almost 90% of the time.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, take care, and you have a good weekend. Do you have the weekend off, or are you working?
Yeah. I just work Monday through Friday, so.
Okay. Well, that's good.
Yeah. I couldn't have it any other way.
Yeah.
There's no way I can work on weekends anymore, you know?
Yeah. I actually have been working the weekend. That's why I had today off. So I had to work last weekend.
I know. But, I see that, and I just, man, that sucks.
It does, because I like my family life, like, a lot. Like, I can't tell you how much I enjoy my weekends.
Yep.
Yeah, so it throws a little fork in it, but it was nice today. I did a lot of box moving and merging. And Some heavy lifting, yeah.
Yeah.
So you have a good weekend, and I can't wait to talk to you again soon. And thanks for supporting the shows. I appreciate it. I know you listen to, you know, DC Noise and some of the others, and
yeah,
you're always there.
Yeah, I mean, I appreciate that you guys still do them. So, I mean, the least I can do is support them.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Yeah. Yep.
Well, you have a good night. Take care.
Yeah, have a good weekend, Mike.
All right, bye.
Bye.